From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. A few programs ago, Dr. Cairns began a message entitled Guilt-Free Christian Living, the first in an in-depth study of Romans chapter 8. The teaching of chapter 8 is first of all about the security of the believer and then about his sanctification. One of the most difficult battles the Christian has to fight is against the guilt of sin. A realization of Christ's vicarious suffering and death for his people is the path to victory over guilt. This is the glorious truth contained in Paul's opening statement in chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. To be in union with Christ means that believers have Christ as their representative before God the Father. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue the message. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text comes from Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. When a believer has fallen to a low, sad state of feeling, he often tries to lift himself out of it by chastening himself with dark and doleful fears. Such is not the way to rise from the dust, but to continue in it. As well chain the eagle's wing to make it mount, as doubt in order to increase our grace. It is not the law, but the gospel which saves the seeking soul at first, and it is not a legal bondage, but gospel liberty which can restore the fainting believer afterwards. Slavish fear brings not back the backslider to God, but the sweet wooings of love allure him to Jesus' bosom. Are you this morning thirsting for the living God, and unhappy because you cannot find him to the delight of your heart? Have you lost the joy of religion, and is this your prayer? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Are you conscious also that you are barren like the dry ground, that you are not bringing forth the fruit unto God which he has a right to expect of you, that you are not so useful in the church or in the world as your heart desires to be? Then here is exactly the promise which you need. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. You shall receive the grace which you so much require, and you shall have it to the utmost reach of your needs. Water refreshes the thirsty. You shall be refreshed. Your desire shall be gratified. Water quickens sleeping vegetable life. Your life shall be quickened by fresh grace. Water swells the buds and makes the fruits ripen. You shall have fructifying grace. You shall be made fruitful in the ways of God. Whatever good quality there is in divine grace, you shall enjoy it to the full. All the riches of divine grace you shall receive in plenty. You shall be, as it were, drenched with it. And as sometimes the meadows become flooded by the bursting rivers, and the fields are turned into pools, so shall you be. The thirsty land shall be springs of water.
Satisfies my longing by his His blood I now am saved. For I was and sought for riches, something that would satisfy, but the dust I'd gathered round me only mocked my soul's sad cry. Well, of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and satisfies my longing. By his blood I now am saved. Every
so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions, such as, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website, and we're pleased to make a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of this DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns, free of charge. If you wish, you may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Thank you.
did, he did for his people. It is the central doctrine of the book of Romans that all that Jesus Christ did is placed to the account of his people. When he satisfied God, he did it in my name if I'm a believer. He did it in your name if you're a believer. All that he did is placed to your account. All his merit, all his obedience, all his action in life, all his passion and death, all the virtue of his holiness, all the virtue of his blood shedding, all that Jesus did that has so pleased God has been put against the name of every believer. I let that sink in. As a man, does Jesus Christ deserve to be in heaven? As a man, has he earned the right of entrance to the right hand of God? The Bible tells us the answer to that. In Hebrews chapter 9, we're told that he entered in to the holiest by his own blood. Let that sink in. Let the meaning of it sink in. Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, as the second person of the Trinity, has the intrinsic right to be in heaven. He is God. But the Son of God became a man. He took into union with himself a true humanity. And remember this, for a man to enter heaven, he has to earn the right to be there. For a man to be on the throne of glory, he has to earn the right to ascend to that throne. That's what Paul is saying. He entered in by his own blood. By the virtue of his sacrifice, he earned the right to sit at God's right hand. Now back up a moment. All he did for his people. All he did is placed to the account of his people. All he did in the name of his believing people. If all he did is placed to our account, and he deserves that place in heaven, do you see where this is leading? He gave his people a right. A right to enter into glory. So there's good reason for God to accept believers. They have all the same, follow me carefully, they have exactly the same right of acceptance as Jesus Christ has. They have the very same righteousness that Jesus Christ has, because he is their righteousness. We don't come before God with the tawdry rags of our own best efforts. Christ has taken those and he has thrown them away forever. And he clothes us, as Isaiah 61 verse 10 says, covers us with the robe of righteousness and with the garments of salvation. That's how believers appear before God. You remember the parable that the Lord Jesus told in Matthew 22? The parable of the marriage of the king's son. There they were all seated around the tables. The king comes in. And he looks around and he's well satisfied. You've all the right to be here, except you. Why? How did you come here? Why did you come here? How dare you come here without wedding garment? What is the wedding garment? It's the garment I have described from Isaiah 61:10. It's the garment of salvation. It's the robe of righteousness. There is the reference as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornament and a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. This is the wedding garment. It's the robe of the righteousness of Christ. Do you see what it's saying? When God looks at people, He's not looking at how well you've performed. Oh, I want you to do your best for God. Can we be satisfied with giving the Lord anything less than our best? No. But that's not the basis of your acceptance with God. God's not looking, as I say, at the rags of our efforts. He's looking at the robe of the righteousness of Christ. And when He sees that, He sees Christ, He's well pleased. Follow my logic. He gives the believers the verdict, not guilty. He says, I have no reason to condemn you, for Christ has removed all your sins. I have every reason to accept you, for Christ has clothed you with the garments of His own righteous perfection. There is therefore now no condemnation. But notice this. That verdict is limited to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now that's the key to deliverance from guilt, the deliverance from the penalty of sin. That's what takes you out of Adam, puts you in to Christ. It's the grace of God putting you in union with Jesus Christ. Now you must understand this. This is more than a profession of faith. This is more than having an orthodox creed. This is more than being able to recite the Apostles' Creed or the Shorter Catechism. This is more than being able to give the 5 points of Calvinism. This is more than being able to give the fundamentalists the list of the fundamentals that have been given out from time to time. This is more than being a Presbyterian or a Baptist. This is more than being baptized by sprinkling or immersion. This is more than sitting at the Lord's table. This is more than religion. More than profession. More than head knowledge. There's something vital here. It's a personal, vital union with Christ. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that will take you to heaven. Understand it. What does it mean to be united to Christ in Christ Jesus? It means Christ is your representative. Means that just as you have a head and a body, you have Christ and His people. They are vitally, that is, vitally united. Means they have a union of life. The life of the head flows to the body. All He has ever done, as I've said, He's done in our name and place. With the result that God treats Him and His people as one. I've often put it this way, that God will never deal with His people apart from Christ, and He'll never deal with Christ apart from His people. There's an old hymn. I came across it. At least I came across this little part of it last night. It was stuck. I'd written it out and it was stuck in the pages of an older Bible. I can't remember writing it. But I said, that's exactly what I want for tonight. That's exactly it. I have to say the poetry is not of a very high standard. But the theology is magnificent. And if you give me a choice between theology and poetry any day, I'll choose theology. But the hymn writer put it this way, and when I shall die, receive me, I'll cry, for Jesus hath loved me, I cannot tell why. But this I do find, we two are so joined that He won't be in glory and leave me behind. That's it. He will not be in glory and leave me behind. That's union with Christ. That's the basis of our security. That's the basis indeed of our sanctification. But I'll tell you something else. That brings a very solemn message. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ, but it means there is condemnation to them that are not in Christ. Out of Christ, without a Savior, with no help or refuge now. Can it be, O blessed Master, that one without Thee dares to die out of Christ? Matthew 7 gives us a terrible picture. Matthew 25 repeats the picture. Different details, but it's the same message. In the church, but out of Christ. In the ministry, but out of Christ. In the pulpit, but out of Christ. Wonder where you are tonight. In Christ, God removes all guilt, all ground for condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. But out of Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Are you saved? Let me be very pointed here. Many of you young people have come to a Christian school for a Christian education. You can give a Christian education to a sinner and he'll go to hell nonetheless. Education will never save anybody unless it educates him to come to Christ. Are you saved? Are you in Christ? For in Christ there's no condemnation. But out of Christ, no matter what else you are in, out of Christ is only the wrath and the curse of a sin-hating God. So in Christ we have deliverance from guilt. I have only a moment to finish to say that there's also the deliverance from the power of sin. Who walk not. This is a description. It's not a definition that you become a Christian because of the way you walk. No, you walk because you're a Christian. That's always the answer of the Bible. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, they're still in the flesh, as Romans 7 makes clear. The flesh is always prone to sin. But there's a new man here. There's the man in Christ. A Christian is a new man. He's a new creature. Here he is. The real man loves God's Son, loves God's law, and loves God's people. That's the real man. The flesh may struggle against it, but there is in a Christian, even when he feels something that condemns the sin and cries out after holiness, there's a new principle in a Christian. Something that wasn't there before. He loves the law of God after the inward man. So being in Christ controls his walk. That's the whole key to holiness. To say the flesh will always try to drag him back to the law. Even for his sanctification, you see, the flesh wants to be able to glory. If I can make myself holy by my adherence to a set of laws, then I'm going to feel, oh, like a Pharisee, oh, so proud of me. But if I am brought to where Paul was, here I am, a wretched man in a body of death, and I cannot overcome the flesh, and I cannot defeat the devil, and I cannot by myself get victory. But Christ can. Thus, by faith, I look to Him. By faith, I take the gospel and take my stand on that gospel. He gives the victory.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.